Bill Riley Show continues here on a Thursday on ESPN 700 as we talk a lot of football here. Obviously, we're getting you ready for Utah and Cal this weekend, and obviously BYU's hosting Toledo this weekend. I'll be in Berkeley, leave tomorrow afternoon, but it's the 10-year anniversary this year of a really, truly great football and life movie that came out in 2006. Matthew Fox, Matthew McConaughey. It was the movie that was obviously a tragedy, but it turned out to be a really an uplifting story in the end. It's called We Are Marshall. And it was the story of the Marshall Thundering Herd football team that killed almost the entire team in a horrible plane crash in the early 70s, and then they came back. And the man that was the architect of the return of Marshall football is coming to the state of Utah to do some speaking engagements next week, and we are lucky to have with us former Marshall coach and an athletic director at a number of stops, now a guy that's on the speaking circuit from time to time, Jack Lingle, joining us here on the Bill Riley Show. How are you, Jack?
Good, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing.
Appreciate the call.
I'm doing terrific. It's the fall. Do you ever get that itch to be back on the sidelines again in the fall, or does that ship sailed for you?
No, you always have that itch. You know, it's one that you got to scratch. Being on the sidelines and be a coach, there's just nothing like it. I moved on into an athletic directorship and ended up at the United States Naval Academy, where my two sons attended. They went on to become Flyers. But the sidelines and the coaching is just a wonderful blessing for anybody that can handle a head coaching job at any university. That's the greatest opportunity, because what it is not only a great satisfaction, but you're working with the youth, and they go on. And what I'm getting now is players that played for me call me back, and they've got their own children, and we're talking about what they went through and how what they learned with the game of football and how it applies to their current lifestyle. And that's better than a $5 million salary.
It seems strange that it was 10 years ago the movie came out, and probably seems even stranger for you that we're now 46 years removed from the whole tragedy and you taking over the program, 45 years since you took over the program at Marshall. Did you like the movie? Did you like the way it came out? And how much say or consulting did you do on the movie 10 years ago?
Well, Matthew called me, and we talked for about 45 minutes, and we met for about 2 hours and they did their first shoot on the campus, which was very fortuitous, because I think once they got to the campus, I think one person of their staff wore a green hat or something like that. Before they left, everybody was wearing green. And Matthew, I talked to Matthew about it in the film, and they did a lot of scanning all the material and so forth. Basically, they did a good job with the story, but they did obviously Hollywoodize some of them, some of the parts. The cheerleader was a composite character. The factory boss who lost his son was a composite of person that represented the fathers that lost their sons, and things that I was not familiar with. So sometimes I would challenge them on some of the particular copy. Sometimes I was successful, sometimes it was just Hollywood. But by and large, I think they did a good job at telling the story. And as I tell everyone that saw the movie, I said, my sideburns were never that long, I never had a 5 o'clock shadow, and I did not dress like Bozo the Clown.
Well,
I was an Ivy League dresser.
I was about to say, you certainly couldn't have done any of that at Navy when you ended up going to Navy. But did the people at Marshall, did the people on your staff and the people you were around, the before and the after, did they like the way the final product came out?
I think so. I think that by and large, the concept of the story, they were true to the concept of the story. They did add the love part and so forth. They did with it, and like the cheerleader was a composite cheerleader.
Yeah.
Actually, the cheerleaders never went on the plane because they met with the athletic director, and the athletic director said, "Well, I can take half of you on this trip and half on the next trip." And the cheerleaders went back to the sorority, and they decided, "If we all can't go, we'll drive down." And it was a very fortuitous decision because it saved their lives.
Jack Lengel is with us here on the Bill Riley Show. He was the coach of the Marshall Thundering Herd when the Marshall Thundering Herd returned to football again in 1971, and obviously he was featured as the head coach in the movie We Are Marshall, played by Matthew McConaughey. Was McConaughey a big sports fan?
You know, he is, and he's a terrific guy, Bill. You and I would just enjoy being around him. He's a little quirky, but he's a good guy, and he's a football guy. You know, he follows the Dallas or the Texas football team. You always see him on the sidelines, and he's just a good guy. And we exchange Christmas cards every year.
You didn't coach a whole lot longer after Marshall. You had the run at Marshall, and you didn't coach. You got it kind of onto the administration side of things. Was that just bringing the program back take a lot out of you, Jack? What prompted the move to get away from coaching after 3 years at Marshall?
Well, after four years. Marshall, the record had something to do with it.
Okay, yeah.
Obviously, we only had about 48 players, and they were we had a freshman team of about 39. But after the tragedy, big schools came in and recruited all the top talent away, so that the people that we had left were I had about two or three receivers, maybe two quarterbacks. And everybody else was inexperienced. They were kids that played in the JV game. JVs were ineligible, so it was not a seasoned football team. So we had to. What we did is immediately really get them in great physical condition, so that we could we would never be tired out. We never ran the same play twice. We did things opposite of what the tendencies would be, and we stunted all the time. Let's say, for instance, in the red zone, you ran these certain plays to the left on certain downs, we would stunt six people into that area. If you ran to the other side, you'd still be running today. So we did the uncharacteristic. We broke every code. You couldn't code us, and the kids were tougher. And then we put in the Houston Veer offense, which is a concept offense. Two wide receivers, they got to put two guys out. Now, it's not 11 on 11. If we played a tight formation, they would have stunted. We wouldn't have made the length of our nose. So with two wide receivers out, now it's nine on nine, and therefore we don't block the end and tackle. We option them. But the only problem was our quarterback was not an option quarterback, but he had to learn it. But he took a heck of a beating to do it, but he could throw the football. Now with the set, there's so many wide open areas that he could throw in, it gave us an advantage in throwing the football and then using a different strategy about play collections and reverses and bootlegs. So that gave us a fighting chance, and that was Bobby Bowden that helped me put that offense in. And the part about Bobby in the movie was absolutely true. He had green crosses on his helmets in honor of the Marshall football team.
Yeah, I got to know Bobby a little bit when I lived and worked in Florida many years ago, and he was always very easy to deal with and seemed like a pretty good guy. And then when I saw that scene out of the movie, it wasn't hard for me to believe. I'm sure maybe it was Hollywoodized a little, but it would not have been hard for me to believe, because he was a good man.
That was exactly what he did, and Bobby is what you saw on the film there. One of the great coaches, but a better human being, and he's a lay minister. And just, he's always been a close friend of mine. I knew him before I went there, but him taking our staff and teaching the offense in 3 days, and then we came back and simplified it and implemented it. It was as much a part of the success as our coaching staff that implemented that first year.
A couple of more minutes here with Jack Lingle, the former Marshall head coach, who's coming to Utah next week. Ogden, Logan, Lehigh, downtown Salt Lake, the 4th and the 5th. To do breakfast and lunch stops and tell the story, I suppose. What's the message, Jack, that you send to coaches today when you speak to them, or players today, or programs? Because people think they deal with hardship, but there's very few coaches, thankfully, that have had to deal with what you had to deal with back in the day at Marshall.
Well, basically what I tell all when I talk to players and teams is that I really emphasize that the game of football, what it gives to you is life lessons, perseverance, dedication, selflessness, and play till the whistle blows. and you play every play like it's a new game. If you were a defensive halfback and they completed a pass on you, forget about it, remember what you did wrong, and then play the next play as a brand new football game. And then you play the 60 minutes. And so I try to get those lessons across to them with regards to the impossible is possible with dedication and perseverance and selflessness and becoming a team, and a team is never spelt with an I. And so I try to share those lessons and how they transfer to their future lives, and that how you have to come together as a team like a fist. And when you do that, you have every success and you can never be beaten. Even if you lose on the scoreboard, you never lose with regards to what the game of football is going to give you and what you're going to take from it to become a man, and a man that can move forward and be successful in life. And that's what's really important, is the evolution of that process and the dedication to the game of football.
It was a tragedy, no doubt.
No doubt.
But at the end of the day, when you look back on it, how did it impact and change your life? I'm guessing you wouldn't be the guy you were today if you wouldn't have accepted that job and left Worcester to go to Huntington, West Virginia.
Well, when I went down there, I thought I was rebuilding a football team. When I got down there, I found out that I did not know this until several months later, that the faculty was grousing around and wanted to drop football. But the Big Green, unlike any other booster club in the country that I've ever been around, they bled green, and they were there. The town and gown relationship with the Big Green and the university was like a fist. And the interim president, within a day, made the decision to rebuild the football program to honor the 75 people that perished in the crash. And when I got there, I was assuming I was building a football team. I quickly found out there were 27 boosters on that plane, four doctors and their wives, another doctor, a state senator, city councilman, trainers, managers, vice president of the university, athletic directors, football team coaches, and radio personnel. So it took a wide swath out of the community. So we were involved with a rebuilding of a community, a football team, and a university that's made a commitment to rebuild the football team in honor of the 75 people that perished.
Well, he'll be in Utah next week, courtesy of the Bank of Utah and their fall speaker event. He'll be in Logan and Ogden on the 4th. He'll do a breakfast in Ogden, a lunch in Logan, and then on the 5th, he'll be in Lehigh, and then at the Grand America downtown doing a breakfast and a lunch. It sounds like a lot of fun. Jack, it's been a blast talking to you. By the way, if you're interested in information, you can go to bankofutah.com to try and pre-register for either the breakfast or the lunch. And I'm guessing that you usually get pretty good turnouts for this, and it's a lot of fun for you.
Well, I appreciate it is. And people ask me why I took the job, and I always tell them that, you know, there was an old Chinese proverb that said, if you're ever given anything of value, and I was a head coach at a college at 28 years old, and to be a head coach at that age, I thought was something, and the Chinese proverb says, if you ever given anything of value, you have a moral obligation to pass it on to others. And that's why I took the job. I thought here was my opportunity to give back to football what it gave to me.
Jack Lengel, our guest here on the Bill Riley Show today. Jack, safe travels. We'll see you next week.
Well, appreciate it.
There you go. Jack Lengel with us here on the Bill Riley Show as we continue on a Thursday. Terrific story, and 10 years ago the movie came out, We Are Marshall. More ahead here on ESPN 700.